Welcome back, everyone. It is good to be together again. Welcome to our next installment of Get to Know Grace. I'm Pastor Rachel, and I'm so excited to be here with our very own Diane Nelson, who is just an incredible human being, and I'm so excited to get to know her better, for you all to get to know her better, too. Diane, you are not only an amazing human being, but you also serve on our board, which is incredible. So you have this leadership position in our community, and I'm so glad that you are here so we can all get to know some of our leaders a little bit better. So thanks for being here.
I think it's a great idea. So here we are.
Here we are. Let's get started with a word of prayer. Good and gracious God, thank you for this time together to be community across these interwebs, these sound waves, to be your people in your world. Bless this time together. Help us all to be open to the story of your presence in Diane's good life. Bless this time. May it be a blessing not only to all those who are listening right now in this moment, but all who might listen, who might stumble across it in the future, in the times ahead. May it bring us all some semblance of belonging, of your presence, of all good things in this life. All this and so much more, we pray in your holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Diane, tell us a little bit about yourself. What would you like the good people of Grace Lutheran Church to know about you?
Well, I always like when people say their background. So I'm born and raised Lutheran.
Okay.
Thought that would excite some people.
Yes.
Right here in Des Moines, North Hill of Des Moines is where I grew up. And ever since we came to Grace, I have been downstairs in the Sunday school classroom teaching 2 and 3 year olds the love of Jesus. So
yes.
I haven't been upstairs and part of what the adults are doing so much, and so I don't really know how many people actually have a clue who I am. So I love this.
Yes.
I love this opportunity to be able to be here and have this conversation.
Yeah.
My husband, you might know my family better than me. So my husband is the accompanist for the kids choir. He's
yes.
the one that plays the piano. So that's a both service visual. He's out in front of people kind of thing. And then my daughter, Brooke, was in the kids choir and in the handbell choir. And she was in the youth group and went to Mexico and did the 3-year cross and all that kind of stuff. So people seem to know Brooke. And Brooke and Kurt would have sat at the donut table and been selling donuts because that's, you know, something that the handbell choir does. And then,
oh yes.
And my son, not so much into that, but he's a 9th grader and his final year of confirmation. So great
yes.
and upcoming things for Drew. So,
yes.
And if you're watching the video version, you know that I can, I use my hands when I talk. And for those that are listening, yeah, you just know that my hands are going. It helps my brain work.
Yes. It's a great, you can just use your imaginations. We're both hand talkers, so hands are just flying in the room right
now.
They
really
it.
Are.
Yes.
They really are. I think another thing to know is that, so I serve on the board as treasurer.
Yes.
And that is a fancy title. I am not an accountant.
Sure.
So we,
yes.
the Grace has a budget manager, and she's the one with all the credentials, and I am the one that makes sure that everything checks and balance, and that I'm the one that has access to the bank account. She's not.
Yes.
She can't sign a check. I can. And so we have that integrity piece in place.
Yeah.
So that we make sure that all of Grace's finances are
good
straight up and doing what they're supposed to do and being
yeah,
good stewards with the money that people are given. So
yeah,
really
putting to use the gifts that we've been given to make sure that we're doing good with it all, and not being, what's the opposite of wise? I should know this as a pastor. I should know these words, but just being wise with the gifts we've been given and being good stewards of that gift from God and from the community to make sure we're not being irresponsible. There is the word. That we're not being irresponsible with those gifts. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that that's a teamwork too between all the people on the finance committee, and then sort of broadly just it sort of trickles out to some of the board decisions, and it's never just like, it's not all on your shoulders, which is must be amazing.
It is amazing.
To just not feel that all.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's wonderful.
Well, tell us. I love the word team.
Yes.
Yeah. I love the word team.
Yeah.
So.
It's a good one.
And I'm good on one-on-one conversations. Yeah. I'm not so hot in a group. I will be very quiet in a group.
But you still bring your expertise and your wisdom to every group I've ever been on with you. And I love that. That it's
if yeah. God places it on my heart for something to say, I yes. will say it.
Yes.
But otherwise I'm
yeah.
Otherwise other people can say things way better than I can, you know?
Oh, I love that. Well, tell us about how you found Grace, how you come to Grace Lutheran, what keeps you coming back, maybe, or just sort of what about this space keeps you here?
We came to Grace when Brooke was in kindergarten and I was pregnant with Drew, and we were in a small church that didn't have much of a youth program whatsoever, so we were ready. I grew up in a church that had Luther League and definite things for kids growing up. And I was the youngest of five kids. So, I mean, every single one of my siblings was involved in church. So I wanted that for ours. Yeah. And we were involved in our little church, but Ryan Alexander, Pastor Ryan, was gonna be here for Ash Wednesday. And we had heard about him. We were just like, all right, so we're gonna go and we're gonna check it out. And we never went back. So we were here that Wednesday and Brooke was really interested in checking out the church, and we even went downstairs and looked at Sunday school classrooms and stuff and asked her, do you want to come back on Sunday? And she said, yeah. And she admits later that, you know, she didn't know that that meant that we were never going to go to that other church again. But it was that easy.
Yeah.
It was that easy to realize that Grace is the place where we want it to be. And then, you know, within a year of Drew being born, there was a need for a Sunday school teacher, and I took that role. And I had never been a Sunday school teacher before, so that was a new thing. And I've really enjoyed it. I really enjoy telling the littles about the love of Jesus, because even though I grew up in the church, I didn't really get it. I didn't understand how the puzzle pieces went together, and I wanted to be able to have that opportunity to be the one that kids to try to get kids to get it. That was a passion for me.
Yeah.
I am called out of that now, but so I'll be up in pace. So those that don't know me, there's a chance to get to know me now, obviously one-on-one.
Yes, that would be fantastic.
What keeps me coming back also is Grace Prayer Support.
Yeah.
So we're going on our sixth year of being a prayer ministry, and prayer is so powerful. And to be in a community of people that are praying together is just, I really can't put it into words. My hands are trying, but but it's just really hard to describe it. And I have gotten to know people that I know that I wouldn't have gotten to know otherwise through this ministry. And also just being together and hearing the way that one person will pray versus the way another person prays. I mean, God puts things on our hearts, and the way that we articulate it is so different. And so that room is just rich with all of these words and all of these descriptions and phrases and just hearts being poured out with issues that are going on in ways that I can't do on my own.
Yeah.
And it has really, really enriched my prayer life. I love GPS.
Yes.
This isn't a commercial for GPS, but please do check it out. It's really an awesome ministry.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, when you're plugged into a group, it keeps you coming back.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm treasurer. That keeps me coming back.
Yeah.
Being a part of, I'm thinking about when the board came up with the vision statement.
Yes.
Yeah. the board had been trying to hammer out this vision statement for several months, and it was just getting to the point where we need to come up with something.
Yeah.
You know, we need to decide on something. There were definite things that we had been talking through, but decided to get out of the church, actually go into a member's home. So we were at Astrup's house, and we were sitting in their living room, and it has this big picture window, and it was fall, it was dark, it was, you know, there was nothing to see out this picture window, and we're coming up with things that we liked, and we had just come out of, you know, Salt Sunday had happened that May before, and so we liked Serve and Lead together, you know, so there were different pieces, and my hands are going crazy right now, people. There were different pieces that we knew that we wanted in there, and so I don't remember who said it, but just finally all of the words that we had said just strung it out and said, a radically inclusive multicultural community that serve and lead together with the love of Jesus, and lightning struck out that picture window. I'm telling you, it was like, okay. We have struggled for months to come up with that, and here is this lightning bolt, and it's like, there it is.
Yes.
There it is. There's God saying, yes!
Yes!
Yes! It took you long enough.
Yeah.
And so to be a part of that vision and that vision of the lightning bolt coming, it was just like, okay.
It's happening.
We'll do it. We got it. And so grace is the place.
Yeah.
It's really a wonderful place to be. I've been in other churches in the area.
Yeah.
You don't need to shop anywhere else.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. This is where you should be. So, yeah.
I love that that you have such a connection to the people in the community through GPS, to be so grounded in the people and the relationships that you have, and to be so inspired by looking forward to something, to be sort of setting your sights out there into the world of, we don't know how it's going to happen, but we're so excited about getting there and the journey to get us there. And I think that that's something that churches, I hope every church out there has that balance between that belonging and that vision casting of being that community that looks to something bigger. Because I think there's such hope in that. There's such excitement and joy and love and gospel truth in that, not only in the lightning bolt, but in the words of who God is calling us to be, that we get to rally around that to find some belonging and purpose in that, and then start moving that way.
Exactly.
And I love that so much.
Exactly. And you said the word hope, and I just love, I love the word hope.
Yeah.
There's just, it makes my heart happy.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And, and that hope is through that hope in Jesus. So,
yeah.
And I really, really feel that here.
Yeah. Yeah. And I keep thinking about hope specifically, and sort of in the gunk that we're in right now of COVID, of you know, the awakening of so many of us to the sins like institutional racism and all the isms that are out there, just all of the junk that seems to just be piling on, to not even mention the natural disasters that have been happening recently, and the just the mess of Afghanistan right now, and all of that, that it can feel so hard to find hope in the present moment. So there is that belonging piece of, this is where I belong and these are my people, but where is the hope in this moment? And having something to sort of be like, all right, all of this sucks. Mm-hmm. All of this is just going wrong right now. And it's so hard and it's so heavy, but it really is, I think, a unique to church, a unique to Christ experience to say, this all sucks right now, and there's still hope out there. Mm-hmm. Like, we are resurrection people. We might be in the midst of the tomb right now, and it might all look like tomb for a long time, but there is still resurrection to come. And I love that that's really what makes your heart happy. That's what I hear when you say my heart is happy. It's literally your life force. It is
because everything going on in the world, I mean, we can really get bogged down with how overwhelming it is. But hope is what gets me out of bed in the morning.
Yeah.
Hope is what helps me to try to find some silver lining to share with somebody that's going through something that's hard.
Yeah.
Hope is, it's my word.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
There's a lot of four-letter words out there, but hope is, hope and love. One. Those are
yes.
Those are really great words.
Absolutely. Yeah. For those of you who are listening who can't see, Diane is also wearing great shades of pink, and I always think of pink as hope. I don't know why, okay. But it's a hopeful color to me. Like pinks and greens. I don't know if that's because that's like spring colors, and spring always makes me think of hope, but I just love that you're also wearing this color that makes me think of hope. It's perfect. It's meant to be.
It's fall and it's flannel, so.
Yes! It's time to break out all of those warm, cozy layers, because it was 48 degrees on my walk this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize as an Alaskan, I'm supposed to be tougher than that, but I was cold. I was like, okay, it's fall. It's here. It's arrived.
It is.
Anyways. Wow, thank you for all of that. That was beautiful. This makes my heart happy, hearing about how other people's hearts come alive. That really is just my life source. So thank you for that. Well, tell us about a time when you've experienced God's grace in a way that really made a big difference, or showed up in a way you weren't expecting, or was totally unlike anything you'd experienced God's grace before then. Since I know many of us are learning that this is not only a podcast about getting to know us as Grace Lutheran, but it's also that wonderful double meaning of the word, also getting to know God's grace lived through these stories and lived through our experience as God's people. So I'll stop talking, but a time when God's grace made a big difference.
Well, I had a time of reflection. So this past weekend was the anniversary of 9/11.
Yes.
And Brooke wasn't even 5 months old yet at the time, and watching that unfold on TV, holding her surreal was the word of the day, you know? And I had negotiated this 10-month leave of absence. I had a job at Boeing, it was a good job. And we had talked about it would be kind of nice if I could be a stay-at-home mom, but had not had that conversation yet. There was still time for that conversation. But that morning, I looked at my husband and I said, you know what? I said, I am holding the most precious thing to us. I said, I cannot go back to work. And he said, we'll make it work.
Yeah.
And God's grace was in that moment, because it's not like a month later. He said, you know what? I ran the numbers and that, you know, maybe not Boeing, but some part, that, you know, none of that.
Yeah.
None of that. And so I've gotten the blessing to be a stay-at-home mom. And with that came, I learned about Bible study fellowship. And I learned about it when my daughter was one, and they didn't have a program until your child was two. So I was telling my mom about it, and I said, oh, this is really cool. You know, I heard about this, and she had just retired. And she said, you know what? I would have loved somebody to come and say, I will watch your kids so you can go to Bible study. She goes, when is it?
Yeah.
I said, it's on Wednesday morning. And she said, I'll be there. So I was able to join Bible Study Fellowship because my mom was willing to watch Brooke.
Yeah.
And they had that time together too.
Yeah.
You know, so they had that relationship. That's God's grace.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, and then within BSF, I was called into leadership there, working with preschoolers.
Sure.
That helps me be a better mom.
Yeah.
I've got this incredible training.
Yeah.
And now I can use that in my own family.
Yeah.
Just beautiful. And so, I mean, God's grace has just been thread throughout being able to be a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah.
And then getting to be treasure.
Yes.
Wow, God's grace in that, because it didn't come with a manual.
Yeah.
And at some point I was like, I feel like people are going to yell at me because, you know, I don't have this report done or that report done, but I'm not sure what I'm doing. And that never happened.
Yeah.
You know, and it took me months to figure out what I was supposed to be doing. So I know now.
Yeah.
And I've written a manual so that somebody else, you know, that
wonderful
take the position.
Yes.
You know, there's grace in I made a really costly mistake. And I'm sure that many people have made costly mistakes, but this one was actual, like, tangible money. And to me, it was the kind of thing that it could ruin relationships and stuff. And what what came out of that, once we knew what the amount was, and the meeting that followed that, was one that built me up in a way that just shocked me.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, that wasn't your intent.
Yeah.
And we really know your heart.
Yeah.
And you were making a decision and you were operating based on the information that you knew.
Yeah.
And not to be... Okay. Where in Romans,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was no condemnation
yeah.
for what I had gone through.
Yeah.
And as humiliated and humiliating as that was
yeah.
for me, that was the depth where I really experienced God's grace the most. Because
yeah.
no one yelled.
Yeah.
No one,
yeah.
No one said, hey, we're done with you or anything. And to be restored, that's the whole reason why Jesus died on the cross, right?
Yeah.
He's restored us from we're not perfect.
Yeah.
And he gives us this righteousness that none of us deserve.
Yeah.
And that's God's grace.
Yeah.
God's grace is I had this whole race thing wrong.
Yeah.
So, and shortly after the whole incident with the costly mistake, and the humility that I was experiencing, I found my mom dead in her house.
Yeah.
And that was the lowest of the low.
Yeah.
And God brought me through that whole experience, and she didn't just, you know, die in her sleep. She,
yeah.
It was just tragic. You know, she was trying to fix a leak under her sink, and, the valve busted and water was just spewing out everywhere. And so she's dead on the floor and her house is flooded.
Yeah.
There was a lot to deal with. I was already at the lowest of the low.
Yeah.
And, but God was there every day through that. I can
yeah.
see how God just was just showing himself.
Yeah.
And I hear people say that, you know, God showed up.
Yeah.
And I said that one time and I heard very much in my ear that God said, I never left.
Mm.
You know, God never yeah. leaves us.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's a Bible verse too. God
yeah.
never leaves us. He never forsakes us. I totally
yes.
believe that.
Yeah.
And okay, so the whole race thing. So when that came up, and we're going to do this book study and
yeah.
it's summertime. I mean, I'm still dealing with being executor of my mom's estate and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I don't have time for this.
Yeah.
But I'm a board member.
Yep.
And board members are supposed to be in one of these book studies. And I'm like, okay, I will do Waking Up White. Waking Up White, if you guys have not read this book, I have so many things underlined. I have
yes.
these little tabs in there of things that I have learned. And I have woken up by reading this
yeah.
book.
Yeah.
And God doesn't come in and say, why were you so blind for so long?
Right.
But yet encourages us when we finally start to get it so
yeah.
that we will continue and we will help educate other people.
Yeah.
Again,
yeah.
no condemnation because I was screwing it up.
Yeah.
But once I've woken up,
yeah.
then God has this expectation that I will help wake other people up.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
and that's his grace too.
Yes.
Because I can share that grace with others.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a lot of grace examples. You asked for one.
Oh,
sorry.
I love it. No, I love it so much. I'm just sitting here like, oh, tell me more. Tell me more. This is so good. Yes. Yes.
Well, going back to Bible Study Fellowship. So
yeah.
There's a question that they ask each week. And it is the very first question.
Yeah.
And I had to write it down. So I'm going to look over here.
Yeah.
It said, use this space to record God's activity this week. How has God provided, answered, comforted, restored, guided, etc.?
Oh.
And my first
that.
Time looking at that question, I was like, oh, yeah, what did God do this week?
Yeah.
And they only give you maybe 3/4 of an inch of
right.
space to write stuff.
Right.
So thankfully, I print out my lesson. So, I mean, I'm writing on the back now. It becomes my
yeah.
little journal each week of all these things that God does.
Yeah.
And That's his grace.
Yeah.
So asking that question each week, I think is fabulous.
Yeah.
And when we're in our group, I'm normally quite quiet,
yeah.
but I normally will start off, well, I'm willing to answer this question.
Yeah.
I'm willing to answer this question because
yes.
I can see where God is.
Yeah.
And I think there's, from what we talked about before, you know,
yeah.
with how overwhelming it is in the world right now, I think people are finding a lot of places that they think God isn't.
Yeah.
But God is.
Yeah.
And in our Revelation study at BSF, we really talked about how Satan is a defeated foe.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it looks like he's wrecking havoc here.
Mm-hmm.
And but he's not going to win.
Yeah.
And I hold that very close to my heart as well.
Yeah.
So.
Oh. I love all of this. No. It was just, while you're sharing that, I was thinking how... I took a life-changing course in college that was all about positive psychology and all the things we can do to trick our brains into feeling better. And one of them was a gratitude journal and just writing down all the things you're grateful for. Eventually, your brain starts looking for those. In part, it's a habit. I have to write this down. It's a school assignment. I'm just going to do that. But eventually, your brain starts looking for those and you see more of them
mm-hmm.
because you're looking for them. That sounds so similar to what you're talking about of, like, if I start looking for God, I start realizing that God never actually left. I just haven't been able to feel, see, experience, notice, whatever it is, God in this moment. But God
exactly.
never actually left. And the more we look for it, the more it just sort of fills our souls in ways that then you fill out an entire printer page back in front of the ways that God is showing up. In a single day.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that so much, both for our own spiritual health, but then what it does, like the brain chemistry changes when you start doing that stuff. And I was a psych major, so brain chemistry, it fascinates me. I didn't stick with it long enough to actually understand any of it, but it's fascinating. So I love that that's such a big part of your walk with Christ, because that's just, that makes my heart happy. I love that so much.
And with heart happiness comes hope.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. My mom loves saying, what is it? You get good at what you pay attention to, or you get good at what you give your time to. And I think that's so true. Like, we get better at seeing God when we give our time to seeing God, when we give our time to looking and seeking and all that.
I love that. I'm going to steal that.
Okay. It's a great momism.
Yeah.
I love a good momism. You get good at what you pay attention to. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm a mom.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I'm going to use that.
Heck yes. Do it with full permission. Thanks, Mama Swenson. Full permission. Yes, absolutely. I was also just so struck by your stories of grace and how often they involved others and sort of seeing that grace or experiencing that grace through other people, both, you know, through Kurt's support, through all of the deciding to do everything in the wake of 9/11 and holding Brooke, and then your mom showing up and being able to be with Brooke and your mom's relationship and all of that grace, and then being in relationship with the board members, not just I'm here to do a job and if I don't do the job you fire me. Like, this is actually relationship and soul tending, and yes, we do have responsibility, and yes, that's important, but what's most important is relationship and grace and learning, because that's how we learn, right? We
mm-hmm.
royally mess up, and as long as it doesn't kill us, we learn something from it and we move forward. And I love that that's so much a part of your story, are the people who have been a part of God's grace active in your life.
And moving forward is key.
Yeah.
To not get stuck.
Yes.
So
yeah.
There's a lot of people in my story that have helped me move forward for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we just get to that point of wallowing or focusing on what could have been done differently, as opposed to moving and learning and growing and helping other people's moving and growing and learning, yeah, along the way. This has been wonderful. Thank you so much for coming and chatting with me for a little while and getting to know each other a little bit better.
Sure.
Yes, deep breaths. Absolutely. I also love, you folks at home might not know this or understand this in this moment, or see this, I should say, But also in all the laughter, because we both wear glasses, our glasses have been like fogging and defogging. And
totally.
I love that shared experience of being like, oh yeah, neither of us can see right now, but we're still having a beautiful moment and our hands are still moving. And I just love it so much. Such is life with masks. Such is life in COVID now.
Totally.
Well, thank you so much for being here, for blessing us with your story and your time. It's been a joy. Thank you so much.
Thank you for taking the time to do it. I think we talked about it in a board meeting just a few months ago, and it was just like, oh, I really love that idea.
Yes.
So I really want somebody to interview you, though.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Maybe we'll do that along the way.
We'll find
someone who's willing to do that.
Okay. Well, it started with Pastor Salvador, and so I expect, okay, the pastors are first. Well, who's going to do Pastor Rachel? And it's like, well, wait a minute.
I love that.
So,
well, maybe I'll tap you for it. Not to put
I
you on the spot.
I just got nervous again.
We will cross that bridge when it comes to it. Well, thank you again. And thank you all for listening. Tune in next week. We'll have another great Grace guest. So looking forward to continuing this journey of learning more about each other, of grounding ourselves in that community in which we experience God's grace. So thank you all. Blessings and God's grace go with you. Take care, everyone.